relief factor, pain relief that's natural, pain relief that works, and pain relief that attacks the source of the pain. That's the experience of tens of thousands of Americans who are taking Relief Factor right now. See their incredible video endorsements at ReliefFactor.com and then order your three-week quick starter pack for just $19.95. That's less than a dollar a day. Find out if it can work for you like it works for me by ordering your three-week quick starter pack today. ReliefFactor.com, ReliefFactor.com. Be the next success story.
Brought forth upon this continent a new nation, conceived in liberty and dedicated to the proposition that all men are created equal.
I know not what course others may take, but as for me, give me liberty or give me death.
The world will little note or long remember what we say here, but it can never forget what they did here.
Not what your country can do for you, ask what you can do for your country.
Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall.
I can hear you, the rest of the world hears you, and the people... And the people who knock these buildings down will hear all of us soon.
And we will make America great again.
This is America First with Sebastian Gorka.
This is America First, and we are delighted to welcome our very special guest host, former Congressman Doug Collins.
All right. Welcome, everybody, to America First. This is Doug Collins welcoming you back after a wonderful long 4th of July weekend. And for everybody who wanted to celebrate the 4th of July, God bless you. Glad you're part of America First. I mean, it is an exciting time coming back off of it. Although after a three-day weekend, I have to admit I'm a little bit tired coming back off of it. Before we get into the tragic news, that we have seen another a shooting in Highland Park. I want to get to that here in just a minute. We'll talk about that. But I do want to focus a little bit on coming out of the 4th of July. It is amazing to me how people in cities around this country, the left has just sort of lost their mind, it appears, when it comes to celebrating anything that would have to do patriotic, anything with this country. It's amazing how conservatives, and I think this is the part that we, as folks who are America First, Dr. Gorka, myself, others, as it comes along, the conservatives, we take everything in stride. We take good, we take bad. We take the highs, we take the lows. We fight to get out of the lows. We celebrate when the highs, and in our country, we understand that there are cycles. Liberals don't get it. For liberals, it is always, if it's not their way, they're worse than a two-year-old who hadn't been changed in 4 hours and hadn't been fed. Everything is a problem, and they complain about everything. If they don't get everything their way, and I'm just to prove my point here. I saw this is coming out of Florida, and again, DeSantis has done a great job down in Florida. There's a lot of things, good things about Florida. But remember, our cities are still run many times by liberals. And this is what they put out. They put this out on their social media platform. They said this about the 4th of July. A lot of people probably don't want to celebrate our nation right now, and we can't blame them. When there is so much division, hate, and unrest, why on earth would you want to have a party celebrating any of it? It's just amazing. But then again, they continue. But in all seriousness, in your heart, 4th of July fireworks are amazing, especially when you're standing in 90-degree heat, 100% humidity, next to 100,000 of your closest friends. In that moment, something takes over and we all become united in an inexplicable bond. Yes, America is in a strife right now, but you all know we're ready because we already bought the fireworks. Really? Being down around, I've been listening to a lot of them down here at the And then a lot of the blowback from the city of Orlando, what actually happened there, they had to issue an apology. They had to come back. But it just really emphasizes this fact that liberals are very frustrated with this country when they don't get their liberal way, when government's not informed, when they're not getting to do whatever they want to do and call it whatever they want to call it. This is the part that so many of us have been frustrated by. And whether it be here on America First with Dr. Gorka, whether it be on my podcast, the Doug Collins podcast, or any of the other Salem faculty, you hear it a lot. We talk about what the problems are, but how do you fix them? The difference in liberals is they just want to complain about it. And if it's not their way, now what is amazing is if it goes their way, oh, they're happy little campers. Oh, if it goes their way, if they get a decision or a judgment that is what they believe, oh, they're happy as can be. But unfortunately, some is not going as they like it right now, whether it be abortion, whether it be the EPA and climate change or Ukraine or anything else. It's just not going where they want it. But I'll be getting to that. Just hold there. You got me for 3 hours today. We're going to get into this even further. But I just had to get it off the chest to start with. Okay, liberals, be happy. You're in a country in which you can do stupid stuff like that, where you can talk about where freedom of speech is actually something that we as conservatives believe in completely, where freedom of speech is something that you use because it was gained for you by people who fought and died for our country to have those rights. So, look, as far as I'm concerned, you're just using your rights. Sometimes you just don't know how to use them. But let's get into the story out of Highland Park. This is another shooting, another crazed individual who used a gun to do a heinous act. I do not want to hear from anyone that calls and says, this gun killed somebody. That gun did not kill anybody. The person behind the gun who pulled the trigger, who loaded the gun, was the one who killed. Okay? Let's just get this out of the way. Now, what is happening now with the ruling out of New York City and everyone is upset about guns, and then also basically the phony gun bill that was just passed in Congress here just recently and signed by the president that really was told to you that, oh, it's a small step forward and it really, but it might help us in the future. Nothing in that gun bill would have stopped this shooting or the Texas shooting or any other shooting. But what it does do is get us a step closer to universal background check. If you've not read this, and I talked about this on Friday here on America First, we do not vote on words. We don't vote on ideas. We vote on words on paper. When words on paper, when you look at that gun bill, let me just be very frank with you. The Republicans who have been, quote, A-plus NRA folks or are gun champions, they blew it on this one. They completely messed this one up because they've changed the term of gun dealer, where it's no longer where you're buying and selling guns for a livelihood or to make a profit. Now it's just a profit, which they don't even have to prove, which is the first step. If they can call you a gun dealer, then say, why did you not get a background check? Again, though, I will emphasize this again. Please hear me. This gun was purchased legally in Chicago. This was not an illegal purchase. It was not a straw purchase. It was a legal purchase. So as we get closer and closer into understanding this, you've got to understand that the thing that Democrats are finally trying to come out, liberals and gun control folks are finally coming to the position of, is they've not been truthful with themselves. They've not been truthful with their constituents. They've not been truthful with those around them. Because at the end of the day, I'm often asked, well, Doug, what could stop these guns? Don't have guns. Then they're going to choose something else. I mean, if you have a psychotic person who wants to kill somebody, they're going to find a way to do it. You don't believe me? Just go to London. Okay? Go to other places. But here is the problem that we're having is that the Democrats are now having to come to the just reality that they have to do something that they know they can't sell and that most of the Americans will not ever tolerate. And that is to say that these will never happen again, that we're going to pass laws, which is why they're finally having to come around to the Beto O'Rourke's of the world, the Swalwells of the world, and others who say, we just got to buy the guns back. We got to ban the guns. The sad part about it is they're only wanting to buy back guns that only are occasionally used in murders like this. But if you don't believe me, we're going to play a couple of clips here. I want you to see what they're actually saying. Let's go to clip 10.
Yeah, it's hard to believe that these mass shootings with these high-powered weapons are going on in our country all too often right now. And let me get Phil Mott to weigh in on that as well. Phil, go ahead.
Boy, let me be blunt. This country, I guess rightly so, was optimistic or at least positive in looking at a bipartisan bipartisan legislation on gun reform in this country. A lot of it had to do with things like mental illness. None of it had to do with the real issue, which is when you compare us to Asia or Europe, those countries do not have automatic or semi-automatic weapons. We do. None of that legislation touched why we have dead people in this country. So we can celebrate a bipartisan act to try to address things like mental illness and weapons, but celebrating too much when you don't take a single semi-automatic off the street, unless it's in the hands of a mentally ill person you can already identify, not a celebration for me, Wolf. We are way behind in this country. And just look at the stats from Asia and Europe. People die in this country from semi-automatics. They don't in Europe. End of story.
They hear it. I mean, you could go right now into the thing. Bill Mudd actually just said it. He said, look, none of this actually happens. And he has to reference Asia and he has to reference Europe, in which he says they have no automatic and semi-automatic weapons. Now, let's be very frank here. As you hear from Dr. Gorka all the time, you can hear it from me. We do not have automatic weapons that just roam the street that can be purchased legally in this country by anybody. They cannot. They have to have a special license. They have been banned for a long time. A semi-automatic weapon is simply a weapon that you pull the trigger, one fire. Pull the trigger, one fire. The left is having to get used to this. We're going to talk more about this as we go. But in the next segment, I have my good friend John Solomon coming on. We're going to talk about the left's chaos in this matter. We'll see you back. America First, Doug Collins filling in for Dr. Gorka.
Dear friends, you know my friend Mike Lindell has a passion to help everyone get the best sleep of their lives. He didn't stop by simply creating the best pillow. Now Mike has done it again by introducing his My Slippers. For a limited time, you'll get $90 off a pair of My Slippers. This blowout sale of the year won't last, so order now. They took over 2 years to develop. They're designed to wear indoor and out. I've already worn out my first pair of My Slippers, and they're made with the same amazing My Pillow foam and impact gel to help prevent fatigue and lined with real suede. Call 800-829-8468. Use promo code Gorka for that massive discount, or just go to mypillow.com and click on the radio listener square and put in the secret code GORKA. This offer won't last long. You won't regret it. They are the best slippers I have ever owned. And $90 off MyPillow.com. Do it today. Promo code GORKA. This is America First, and we are delighted to welcome our very special guest host, former Congressman Doug Collins.
All right, we're back here. This is Doug Collins sitting in for Sebastian Gorka on America First. If you want to join with us here, we got a lot to talk about today. 833-3-GORKA or 833-334-6752. But right now, I am pleased to welcome to America First and be with me today is John Solomon. John is a good friend, someone who's out there just putting the truth into a lot of what's going on in Washington, D.C. John, it's always good to have you.
Yeah, same to be with you, Congressman. I always enjoyed. Happy 4th of July. A little belated.
A little belated. Hey, we, you know, I always thought the 4th of July celebrate, we can celebrate, you know, for a week at a time, I think. You know, when you celebrate the greatness of this country. Hey, I made mention of this in the first. Did you catch the Orlando, you know, how liberals are just hate the 4th of July, especially when they don't. I mean, putting out that we don't want to celebrate the 4th of July right now because we're not happy. You're the only reason you could say that, John, is because of the 4th of July. It's just amazing.
Exactly.
Anyway. It is. Well, let's turn real quickly, though. I mean, it is tragic. And we had last night. And what is interesting to me is they're both relatively getting play, but the Chicago Highland Park, of course, is getting the most play. It was at a parade in which this crazed individual took semi-automatic rifles and began shooting into a parade. But you also had two Philadelphia police officers shot in Philadelphia. I mean, it's almost like there's a, you know, especially when you look at the how much is increased on attacks on police officers today, it's no wonder they're having trouble getting people to go into it. John, is this now the time, and I played a clip earlier, where liberals are going to finally have to admit that it's that their emphasis away from law enforcement, away from everything else, if they really want to, you know, be honest with people, they're going to just have to come out and say, like the old American president movie, I'm going to go after the guns. They got to take the guns.
Yeah, listen, it's clear that the new law that was passed by a bipartisan majority would not have applied to this shooter in Illinois, at least not based on the facts that we now know 24 hours after. So right after passing a law they promised would help, we see another tragic shooting. And I think you're right. The ability to legislate this away is not possible right now. There are many guns on the street, many lawful owners, and if the only way you're going to get zero shootings in this country is to take guns away, I think, based on all the experts I talk about. Now, there are ways to minimize the dangers, and some of those deal with the tougher stuff, things that we often don't want to address, mental illness, getting parents and family members and relatives to alert the law authorities when they think someone's in a bad way or in danger of harming themselves or others. But a lot of what happens today in Congress has nothing to do with the reality of what these shootings ultimately turn out to be.
Well, John, you've also hit something there, and I have went, and I think I'm sure you've talked about this well, and I've told others, but I have just lost it over the last couple of weeks trying to get someone to listen to the fact that this gun law that they just passed, bipartisan, however they want to frame it, was, number one, it didn't do anything close to what they were claiming it would be, but it actually snuck in provisions, one being the changing of what the definition of a gun dealer is from someone who does it as a livelihood. And this opens up to the background, the universal background check. Liberals are smart. I will give them credit. If their intention was to open up to where if I sold you a gun, just casually, you said, hey, Doug, you got a 9mm, can I buy it? The way this law is written, words on paper, they could now classify me as a gun dealer, which would then kick in all of the background requirements and everything else. Yeah. This is concerning. How did Republicans miss that, and why were they so willing to go along with something like that?
It's a great question. I mean, the Mitch McConnell era of Republicanism, the fine print is often ignored or turns up after it's been passed, and we in the public are then stuck with the results of it. But fine print matters in law. We should know that now. That's why Democrats so often sneak their bills in with just a few hours or 2,000-3,000 pages long, and you get an hour or two to read them before you have to vote on them. You know this. You were in the chamber. But the fine print matters. Language matters. And we have seen numerous instances in the last 20 years where fine print changes. You go back to lawmakers like, I didn't vote for that. Yes, you did. and it's been particularly prevalent in the Senate under Senator Mitch McConnell as a Republican leader. There has been a, hey, gang, I need you to vote for this mentality without actually vetting through some of the fine print that gets into these legislations.
Well, it goes back to something, John, that I have often said, and I've said it in committee hearings when I was in Congress myself and others, and because you hear all this, and how many times do you hear liberals talk about, well, this is what I think, this is what I believe, this is what I want, given that sort of amorphous, this is what we're voting on, and then you take a look at the bill itself, and so I've always made the statement, I said, in Congress, we do not vote on ideas, we vote on words on paper. And there's a big difference there, and it's concerning to me, and maybe it's a sort of philosophical for you here, John. I'm beginning to believe we have too many lawmakers, and I'm going to say both parties. I'm just going to include everybody here for a second. When they get to Washington, because of all the other distractions and everything else, they forget that legislating is their main job. It's not all the other stuff. The hearings are great. The YouTube videos, look, we've all been a part of it. I have it, everybody else. But at the end of the day, you've got to step back and realize that legislator is on your name. That's what you're supposed to be doing. And that requires a lot more. Do you think we're missing that, or we're having a generation that doesn't believe that legislating is in those fine details?
Well, listen, there are many examples where due diligence isn't done by Congress on a daily basis, whether it's the negative effect to the budget. Someone will pass a bill and say it's net neutral, and we'll find out months later it's billions of dollars not net neutral or not net zero. How many times in the last year have we confronted lawmakers and say, I can't believe you, oh, that wasn't in the bill. Like, yes, it was. If we signed a mortgage contract and didn't know what the terms are, we ourselves would be responsible for the failure. But there doesn't seem to be much of a consequence for members of Congress in not understanding what it is they're voting for or not giving themselves enough time to understand it, which I think is one of the things under Democratic control of the House and Senate has been a problem. Jamming these bills out, forcing a vote real quickly before people can read it and find out what really is going to be the impact on their constituents. It's shameful. It's not how business works. It's not how everyday Americans manage their budgets or their contracts. But it does seem to be the way a wayward Washington does business, and we're all paying for the results.
I agree. One of the things, and we got just a short moment here, and you're going to be staying through the break with us, so we got some more to talk about. But I just want to emphasize that. How many times do we have a lot of legislators now, you know, who either older, they don't read a computer, they don't see it in a paper, and it is, you know, looking at it from the younger generation of staffers who even conservatives have a different viewpoint than many of us because they don't look at it in the longer picture. They have a shorter time reference. Real quickly, John, do you see that also as another issue that we're dealing with in Washington? We have sort of two classes. You have the elected class and you have the unelected class that's doing things on Capitol Hill.
Yeah, listen, the same problem that we see in the federal bureaucracy exists on Capitol Hill. You have these staffers doing a lot of the work for their bosses, and their bosses seem to be unaware of it. That doesn't exempt the bosses, but it is a reality of what goes on Capitol Hill.
It is. Well, folks, John, you're going to stay with us here. We've got to take a break here in just a minute. But we've got, you know, again, what I want to hit when we get back is we've got some Supreme Court decisions that actually hit at what we just talked about, but from the bureaucracy standpoint. And when the bureaucracy gets involved, then we're starting to hit at the very engine that drives D.C. And this EPA ruling out of West Virginia begins at least to hope start to chip away, and maybe we'll see it in EPA, ATF. Looking forward to talking to you more about this. This is Doug Collins filling in for Sebastian Gorka here on America First. We're talking to our friend John Solomon. Go take you a quick break, get refreshed, because we're just getting started right here on America First.
This is America First, and we are delighted to welcome our very special guest host, former Congressman Doug Collins.
All right. Welcome back, everybody. It is America First. It's Doug Collins filling in for Sebastian Gorka. We are excited to be filling in. If you want to be a part of the show today, 833-334-6752, 833-3-GORKA to be a part. Get your calls in. We'll start taking calls. But right now I have on still with us John Solomon, and I'm excited to have John. John, we've come through a lot here in the last little bit with the Supreme Court. We've had some good. It's amazing to me the good cases that we feel like actually the court is getting back to originalists. You know, we're celebrating. And even in the ones that we don't like, Mexico, the stay in Mexico policy, we can at least see, and conservatives aren't just losing their mind over these, quite like the left is. But after we got this session in, we're starting to see this full 6-3 or 5-4 court, however you want to, you know, determine it, wherever Roberts lands on a certain day. But there's some exciting cases also coming up, and we'll look backwards, but look forward. If you got some, especially this EPA case, I want to get your take on that. But what's some things that you may be looking forward to as well?
I think the single most important thing the Supreme Court did on Friday in its final day was to accept a case from North Carolina on reapportionment and redistricting that actually is a much larger case. It is a case about whether the Constitution literally gives the state legislature ultimate authority to set the time and manner of elections. As we know, there have been several legislatures in the last couple of years that tried to pass meaningful election reforms to make it harder to cheat and easier to vote. And Democratic governors, though the Constitution says, doesn't mention anything about a governor having say over elections, got in the way. Similarly, courts have gotten in the way of redistricting by state legislatures. The Supreme Court took this case, and I think it could have a profound effect on the 2024 election, because if legislatures can act on their own without a court or governor getting in the way, then Wisconsin, Pennsylvania, and states like that, Michigan, where a Republican legislature and a Democratic governor have butted heads on election reform, the legislatures would have supreme authority should the court rule that way. Single most important case, I think, maybe in a generation on election law, if the court rules the way that we suspect it will.
I would agree with you there. John, is it becoming concerning to you, John, especially with elections? And I'm not getting in, you know, this is not, you know, the relitigating or anything, but it's just an honest statement I've seen now progress since really 2000. Okay, this everybody wants to think that the election controversy started in 2020. That's just bull. It didn't happen. It started 2000, and it's and all of it, frankly, up until what we saw recently was the left having issues with elections and tearing down the integrity. Is that concerns me, John? That's why I'm glad to see this court took the case, and we're trying to find this out. We're seeing more election reform done because if we lose the fact of either side or all sides losing our election formatting and our election, then that's the really the glue that's always held us together. Everybody talks about the Bill of Rights, which is all there, but it's that ability to go cast your vote and trust the results. And I think that's what we've got to get back to here a little bit.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, the biggest new factor in elections is we have these powerful bureaucrats like the Wisconsin Election Commission, like certain secretaries of states who have made up law on their own that legislatures never granted them. And you see them making rules that were never legislated, such as no excuse absentee ballots and things like that. This case is designed to do to election regulators, potentially, what the West Virginia EPA case did to federal regulators, which is, listen, if you don't have the authority, you don't get to make up the law. And I think that that's where this court may be heading with this very, very important ruling.
I think so as well. John, one of the things that I wanted to emphasize there, and I'm glad you brought up the EPA case, because now for the first time, you know who I believe actually quietly is terrified by the West Virginia case? Congress.
Congress. Yeah, I agree.
Because Congress, I mean, I fought for this so long. You know, it's you got to actually do something here. I had the several acts of the you know, the bills that put forward where if it was a certain threshold, it had to come back to Congress. You would not believe the pushback that I got, John. Anyway, what's cooking in John's world? What do y'all got? What's the big investigating world? What are we going to see on Notch News?
We're still going to continue to work on some of the January 6th stuff, because while the January 6th committee has us distracted with young White House aides trying to tell us hearsay stories, there is a real security issue in the Capitol. I've talked to over two dozen members of the police force there. They say to a T that the Capitol is no more secure than it was on January 5th, which, by the way, wasn't very secure. I really want to focus on what did Nancy Pelosi know? What did the team around her know? What did the police department know and should have conveyed to her? And we have some more stories coming up on that in the next 48 hours, some new documents, intelligence documents. They're going to show they knew everything that was about to happen and they didn't act properly.
All right, folks, Doug Collins filling in for Sebastian Gorka. Always great to have the John Solomon. Looking forward to talking. John, thanks for being part of us.
Thanks, Congressman. Good to be with you.
All right, we'll be back here. Get your calls in. We'll be ready to go here in just a few minutes on America First.
Is America First, and we are delighted to welcome our very special guest host, former Congressman Doug Collins.
All righty, it's Doug Collins here. We got the final hour. We're at hour three. Can you believe it? Hour three, America First. Doug Collins filling in for Dr. Sebastian Gorka, who will be back tomorrow. We're waiting here just a moment. Matt Schlapp from American Conservative Union is going to be joining us talking about CPAC. But before we get to Matt, we have Jane in New York. Jane, how are we doing?
Fine. How are you? Thank you so much for covering this subject. I was an abuse counselor for many, many years. And I recall a case, a young woman. These organizations tend to brainwash young women when they can get their hands on them. I was called one day to a partial birth abortion. And I tried everything in my power to talk this young woman out of it. And the doctors stepped in. And I asked one person, I said, okay, if someone is paralyzed and they have no voice, and you see that they have no use in this world, will you kill them right there on the spot? Let me just ask you that. And the doctor said, that's a really stupid question. I said, I'm looking at a 6.5-month-old baby laying on a table, and you are about to snuff that child's life out. And to me, it's nothing short of premeditated murder. And it's people like the lady who had called. It's true. Now, if you look at someone and you decide they have no use, are you going to kill them on the spot? Or if someone's going to hurt them, will you stand up for them and speak up? Or are you going to stand back and say, well, that's their choice, we'll just let that? I'll tell you, until you watch a little tiny child have their life taken away while they struggle to breathe, it is the most horrifying thing you can possibly imagine. And I beg people to, I know many people who want to adopt. And there are many good people. So let's try to keep that in mind and help people. Never stop talking about it and trying to help. Don't give up. And I know that sounds corny, but it's...
No, Jane, you're exactly right. And, dear, thank you so much for coming, because you've hit the perfect right here. Conservatives, is our time to step up. Absolutely. It's our time to step up. We've got to be the love and the compassion that we've always
Absolutely.
Shown people.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Jane, you're wonderful. Thank you so much. Thanks for hanging in there.
Bye-bye.
All right, bye. I mean, she's spot on. I mean, this is our time to show love. This is our time to get conservatives. I've said this many, many times before. Conservatives are the only ones that actually – we're the only group that actually believes in people. Liberals believe in government that can help people. We're believing that it is the people that actually not only give power to everything else in life, but the government as well. And on that wonderful note, coming in, speaking of one who loves life and loves a lot of things, especially whatever Mercedes tells him to do, it is Matt Schlapp. Matt, glad to have you on the show today.
Hey, Doug Collins, how are you, sir?
I'm good, buddy. All good. I mean, Matt, I'm telling you, when you just talk about life, and when you put abortion in a proper context, when you talk about it, you know, the life issue that you're making a value judgment between life in the womb and other things, the pro-abortion crowd, they don't have an answer for that. And and today we have been lighting up the phone calls, both the ones against me and for me, but we're talking about life. Talk to me, though, about we've got coming up in a little less than a month now, CPAC Dallas. Let's talk to our listeners about that.
Yeah, people should go. CPAC Texas in Dallas, Texas. We have these two big national CPAC events a year, as well as the things we're doing overseas. We're going to be in Israel, in Mexico, all around this next CPAC. But tickets are still available for Dallas. Go to conservative.org. And I know you're going to be there.
Yes, I'm looking forward to speaking, looking forward to talking about what we've done in the past. Matt and I have worked on criminal justice reform and really conservative alternatives to what the left has really just screwed up in this world. And I'm looking forward to being there, and I'll be doing some radio from there, but also speaking. So we're excited to be a part. Matt, what are you seeing in the last month or so? I mean, we've seen some. What I've noticed is that the left can't stand if anything goes wrong. Conservatives are continuing the process of winning because, you know, look, we understand what the founders, I mean, we're coming off 4th of July, the founders, you know, had set forth a country that was founded on, you know, distinct branches of government with doing their proper role. What do you see this is from a, if you put the last 4 weeks in perspective, how do you see it from not only conservative movement moving forward, but from where we won?
Well, I'm 54, Doug, and what I would say is I've never had a Supreme Court week like the other week. And I think we can all honestly say this. Look, we've had a couple of amazing moments in the conservative movement. We had the election of Ronald Reagan. We had what was the unthinkable Republican majorities in Congress in 1994. We had the Tea Party movement. But all of that pales in comparison to the 2016 election of Donald Trump, and mostly because a lot of people were against him and thought he was lying to us about being a conservative. And his agenda, you know, I forget the things that he did. He did so many things. And Mercy and I were just talking about it yesterday on July 4th with our kids. It's like you start listening to him and you can't believe it. It's because, you know, he kind of broke the system. And I think the biggest historical part of what he did was he went to battle for these three Supreme Court nominees. He didn't squish or hedge or try to pick someone who could just get easily confirmed. He picked really solid justices. And by and large, they are coming through on some big things. Look, we have really never undone the outrageous precedents of the Warren and burger courts. We just have to, it's just not how Republicans are wired. We just kind of, we don't want to undo what they did. And I know there's some legal justification for that at times, but undoing Roe v. Wade, I cannot think of another major, you know, reversal that we've had from the court that, that is at this level. And I think they're going to do the same thing on Chevron deference. I think they're going to do the same thing on climate change. And look, I think these guys realize that the country can't continue on this path, and they're going to start to do the constitutional thing. And I think it's amazing.
Well, it, Matt, is amazing. And I shared this. John Solomon was on earlier, and we were talking about this, and especially you talked about Chevron deference, which is the West Virginia case, the EPA, and really what other – I mean, I can't wait to see the ATF starts getting reined in. You know, other – you know, Department of Education, so many others that should be reined in and not legislating from their bureaucratic offices. But, you know, one of the things that we're seeing forward, and I know you've been involved in this and I have as well, is making sure that the one of the big cases coming up, and we mentioned this early on the show, was that they agreed, the Supreme Court agreed to take up the case out of North Carolina about making sure that it is, you know, from our perspective, that the legislatures, as was set out in our founders in the Constitution, that the legislators, the states set the time and place of the elections, and they set the parameters of that. And I think this North Carolina case could have the same kind of impact that we're going to see out of this West Virginia case.
Well, look, I think that's right. And I think that once a judge says, you know what, I'm not going to probably get invited. I'm not going to get the Kennedy Center Award for courage or whatever that thing is called, that bogus award. I'm probably not going to get all the little awards at all the D.C. Cocktail parties and nonprofits. I'll probably get made fun of on the late night talk shows. And I can't even believe these words are going to come out of my mouth. I might even get assassinated. But that's just kind of where we are as a country. So am I going to try to play the game like John Roberts is playing the game with the D.C. cocktail circuit? Or am I just going to do the right thing and let the chips fall where they may and hug my kids at night and hope we can hold on to this republic? And I think that's what at least 5.5 of them are going to do. And and that's really never happened since the founding of our country, a group of people being courageous and putting it all on the line. And look, I just give Trump a lot of credit. I mean, he could have abandoned Kavanaugh in a second, which would have meant he probably would have had to go left on his next pick. And he held his ground, and Mitch McConnell deserves credit for not letting Merrick Garland get on the court. And these were really historic decisions. But the justices always let us down. Remember, Ronald Reagan got 50% of his picks on the big questions. Both Bushes got 50% of their picks. So far, Trump, you know, he's batting 1,000. It's never happened to us before.
It is. Real quickly, on it, Matt, and I'm thank you for joining. I know you got lots going on, and we're looking forward to folks that can go to CPAC, Texas. I'm looking forward to being out there. I'm looking forward to speaking. You know who I believe this actually, and you've been involved in elections and campaigns, especially around Congress. I believe that these, especially this court's move on West Virginia, puts the emphasis back on Congress, and it makes the election for legislators, people willing to get up there and do the hard work, is going to be a premium if we have a court that actually does that.
Yeah, no, I think that's exactly right. And I was always shocked that, I don't know, that this idea that the Supreme Court would decide what a pollutant is. I mean, they're lawyers. Yeah. I didn't know they were scientists. And it just gets absurd with once you can start making up what's in the Constitution and they can become kind of the super regulator. At the end of the day, on all these questions, it comes down to the people. This is written in that document. Comes down to the people. And yep. If all these pro-choicers really believe that Roe v. Wade's that popular or that climate change is that popular, how come they never leave it to the people to decide these regulations? They're afraid of the people deciding these regulations because they know the polls are a lot more on our side than they admit to.
That's exactly right. Matt Schlapp, ACU, thanks, buddy. We'll see you in Texas. Everybody, we'll be back.
Okay,
Doug Collins on America First. Thanks a bunch.
Three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.